Thank you. Redefining input in X. First question you probably ask yourself is why? What's wrong with the way how we're doing input right now? For the last approximately 40 years, we've been using one keyboard and a mouse to interact with the computer. It's actually exactly 40 years ago the mouse was demonstrated first. And it seems to work quite well, with a few exceptions, of course. So, I'm just gonna show you this photo. I think you're all familiar with it. And lots of you have gotten one of these laptops yesterday. The thing that struck me about this photo is that if you actually look what you can see on the photo is there's five kids in front of a single computer. How do you think these kids are gonna interact with the computer if the only input devices they have is a single keyboard and a single mouse? So years and years ago, they've done psychological studies on that, and what always happens is that one kid grabs the keyboard and the mouse, and all the other kids basically have to do what the first kid does. And that's pretty much the same with adults as well. And just think of your situations. How often have you been standing behind somebody, pointing over the shoulder, telling them, okay, now you take this file, drag it over here, click it, click here, and what you really wanted to do is just take the devices away from them and do it yourself, because it would have been much faster and much less frustrating. In the same way, you might have been sitting there and somebody gave you the commands over your shoulder, click this, and after a while you just gave up and you do it. But every time you had to give them the devices, and therefore you lose control over the screen. Fairly simple answer. Multiple input devices. Instead of one keyboard and one mouse, we just have many keyboards and many mice. Simple solution. It also means that we can continue to use all the input devices we already use anyway. So all the input devices people are familiar with, they can just keep using it. So we're actually not changing that much. So have a look. What does the X server do in terms of multiple input devices? So in 1994, X input extension was introduced into the server. And that basically is for handling multiple devices. Bit of background, what the X input extension does is it defines a new set of events. So by default, when you're listening to events in the X server, you listen to so-called core events, events defined in the core protocol. XI events are basically a plain copy of these events, but they also have a device ID. So you can actually tell which device a particular event came from. This is pretty useful. Now, unfortunately, the way how the device set up internally was is that we have a single core pointer and a single core keyboard. With the latest released version of X, these two devices are virtual devices, but these two devices cannot send XI event. So every time you get an event from the core pointer, it's lacking the device ID. Likewise, all the physical devices you actually plug in are XI devices. So they support hot plugging, again with the latest released version, but it can't send core events. And the way how the X server works is you actually have to register for an event in order to get it. So if you, for example, say, I want to listen to core button press events, you will only get core button press events. You won't get the XI events. Likewise, if you only register for XI events, you won't get the core events. So you actually have to register for both in order to get events from all devices. This is a statistic I compiled about 2 weeks ago of the usage of core events versus X input. There's one application, one popular application I can think of that uses X input. It's the GIMP. Nothing else does. And the GIMP uses it to support tablets, not multiple devices. This is a problem because, as I said before, if we don't listen for XI events, we don't actually get them. And because all the devices actually generate XI events, that means we can't actually interact with the screen. So the solution we have in the server, in the current server, and we've had since 94, is that every time a physical input device generates an event, we also generate the same event for the core pointer or the core keyboard, whatever is appropriate. So as you move your mouse, you create an XI event, and this event is delivered to the application. At the same time, you generate a core event from the core pointer, and you send this to maybe even a different application. This allows us to actually use the connected mice on the display. But the problem is because all devices essentially generate the events on the core pointer, which doesn't have a device ID, we lose the information, which is bad. The other big issue, we have one cursor and one keyboard focus. So yes, we could write our application to access the devices independently and so on and so forth, but we would have to render our cursor ourselves. We have to control the cursor ourselves, which is pain. Luckily, salvation is arriving. So what I've been working on for the last about 2.5 years now is MPX, multi-pointer X. Fairly simple principle. All I want to have is multiple input devices anytime and anywhere. I want to be able to work on my laptop, write something, and then decide, oh, now I need a second mouse. And I just plug a second mouse in. I say, oh, I want a second cursor for this mouse. And then when I need help from somebody, I say, hey, can you come over? They can sit down and it's like, okay, here you have a keyboard, here you have a mouse. Do something, help me. And while I'm writing a text document, my colleague sitting next to me can actually correct my spelling mistakes and my grammar in the same text document. Little things like that. That's how we interact all day. That's how we work. During a meeting, you share meeting handouts and so on and so forth, except with a computer. All of you are sitting with your own computer right in front of you because you can't actually interact with each other. So in order to get there, multiple input devices. What actually is an input device? So you could say, oh, a mouse is an input device, keyboard, tablet, touchpad, iPhone touchscreen thingy. But when we take a step backwards, what we can actually see is there's two layers of input devices. We have the physical input devices, the mouse, the keyboard, the touchpad, and so on and so forth, which are the interface between us and the computer. But then we have the virtual input points, the cursor and the keyboard focus, which is the interface between the physical devices and the actual applications. Applications get their events from the cursor. They don't get it from the device. So once you realize, oh, there's a two-layer hierarchy in there, A, you can name it. So we take the usual approach. We say master devices are the virtual input points. These are devices that actually generate events that are then delivered to the applications. Off these master devices are hanging slave devices, which are the actual physical devices we've plugged into our system. And that means we're suddenly independent from the number of physical devices and the number of master devices. So one of the setups you can possibly have in your computer is that you have four master devices. You have the virtual core pointer, virtual core keyboard, as you always have, and you created another one. Creatively, you named it Master 2. And then we actually have six physical input devices hanging off this computer. The first two USB mice feed into the same cursor. Then we have a USB keyboard. Then we have a Bluetooth mouse and a Wacom tablet that feed into the second cursor. So if I take the Bluetooth mouse and the USB mouse at the same time, move them around, I actually have two cursors moving around. Likewise, if I hit keys on both keyboards, I actually feed into two different keyboard foci. And I can change it at any point in time. This is a common setup. This is how I do most of my setting. My testing, except that I don't actually have a Wacom tablet yet. So if anybody wants to donate one. So again, so these master pointers are cursors. There are virtual input points into the user interface. Master keyboards are keyboard foci, same thing, but for keyboards. They can sync core events, which means we can actually use all applications with them. And they're always virtual. They never ever represent a physical device. That's what we have the slave devices for. Slave devices may be attached to a master, in which case they actually control the cursor of the master. I say maybe because there's a few exceptions. There's a few situations where you don't want the slave device attached to a master. The GIMP has a couple of use cases for that. Several configuration tools have use cases for that. But for now, ignore it. So we assume a slave device is always connected to a master. The event generation now works in a way that per input event, every time we move the mouse, we actually generate three events. First, we generate an XOR event from the slave device, and we send it directly to the application. This is the dashed line on the right here. So if the blue application listens to events directly from the device, as I said, the GIMP has a couple of use cases for that, it will get the event. At the same time, if the slave device is attached to a master, we take this input event, push it through the master, which means we actually change the cursor position, and then we send a core event from the master, which solid line here may go to the yellow application. If the core event hasn't been delivered, because there's just no application that actually wants it right now, we take the same input event as an XI event and deliver it again to the blue application because it's listening to XI event. So each input event, physical input event, every time you touch it, can be delivered in one of three states. So XI event from slave, core event from master, or XI event from master. But once you've gotten one of them, the event processing stops and we get the next one. This avoids duplicate events such as where the core event is delivered to this application and XI event is delivered to this application. I took the long way of finding it out that it's not a good idea. So the interesting thing about that is now that we have hot plugging in the server already. So we can plug in slave devices any point in time. Can plug it in, unplug it, problem solved. We can create new master devices because they're just virtual devices anyway. So we can create them and remove them at any time. And we have flexible attachment. As I said before, I can say I want this USB master to control this cursor. I want this USB master to control this cursor. Touchpad, third cursor. This is a significant change in how we do input. For the last 20 years since the Xerox Star came out, we have assumed a static input concept where one pointer and one keyboard was always available. All the applications rely on that we have one pointer, one keyboard. Suddenly, we have dynamic input. When your application starts up, you don't know how many devices are available. The number of devices can change at any point in time during the runtime of the application. Yeah, there might be all devices maybe removed because you just unplug everything, put the computer to sleep, and when you wake it up, hey, there's no devices here. An application should start adopting to that. It's a dynamic input concept. Much more interesting. So, plan A, dynamic input. What do? We just provide an API as part of XI, part of X input. So we provide per device events, we provide per device APIs, and to some degree, internal happiness. And now we can write applications that actually use multiple input devices at the same time. The text editor I mentioned before. I write, somebody else corrects it. Or a browser where two people can go to two different websites at the same time, which could be interesting, but we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, what about the other 100% of applications? The ones I mentioned before that don't actually do X input. We have to support them too. And this is where the bong hits come in. Multiple devices in standard applications. We have a lot of applications that assume there's a single user interacting with the desktop. And suddenly we have 15 cursors interacting with the desktop and 10 keyboards, something like that. But we have to make sure that nothing actually breaks. So there's three capital offenses you can do in delivering too many events to an application. The first one is we can get duplicate enter leave events, which are annoying but not a huge problem. We can get inconsistent event sequences, and we get the problem of, which device did you mean again? So I'm just gonna go through all of them for a second. Duplicate enter leave events was one of the first ones I spotted. This is a sequence of screenshots from the GNOME calculator on the, I think it was Blackbox. And what happens if you have two people punching numbers on a calculator, a very everyday example, I admit. If two people move into two different buttons, they can press both buttons. And you can press 5 and 6. Everything is nice and dandy. One person now moves over into the button number 5. Both can press button number 5. OK. One person moves out into button number 8. What happens internally is that because one pointer actually leaves the window, the button is just a window, you send a leave event to this window. So GTK, nice as it is, says, oh, I got a leave event. There's no pointer in my button anymore. Therefore, I can shut down event delivery for this button. So the first person who's still in the button number 5 can click the button what they want, like the mouse button. They won't get an event. The only way to get around that is to move out and back in again. And yes, this is probably not the best example, but if it happens on a per application basis, every time somebody moves in and out of your application window and you lose keyboard focus and mouse input and you have to move out and back in again, this can be reasonably annoying. So solution, we just put a semaphore system in place. So we make sure that we only ever send one enter event and one leave event per window. So in this example, when the second pointer moves into button number 5, we don't send an enter event because we've already sent one for the first one. And when it moves out, we don't send a leave event because there's still a cursor in there. Once that cursor leaves, we send a leave event. And this works in about 95% of the applications. Unfortunately, the focus model in X is somewhat tricky, and I think it's actually unsolvable for multiple input devices. So we kind of have to hope that most applications don't notice, and they don't. So I've tried a number of applications, it works nice. The other thing, and this is important for the enter leave and the other problems, is we're talking about using applications in a way they haven't been designed to be useful. We want to use single-user applications with multiple input devices. This is not going to go well, no matter what you do. All you can do is you can make it work as much as possible, make it not break, and hope that it works the best. So there won't be any 100% correct solutions. But if it works, that's enough for us. Inconsistent event sequences. fairly simple example. If one mouse starts dragging around and the other mouse suddenly clicks on a button, the same button, button number one, the application suddenly gets, oh, you've just pressed button one again, although you've never released it, because it thinks they're all coming from the same device. Nautilus, for example, if you do that, locks up. And if Nautilus locks up, it means everything locks up, which is painful, at the very least. So simple solution again, we do something called grab ownership. Every time you actually deliver a button press event inside the X server puts a grab on the device anyway. So what we say is, as long as this grab is active, we discard events from other devices. So in this case, because the grab ownership activates at the first button down and deactivates at the button up, we discard the other button one event. Once the grab ownership is gone again, all devices can do stuff. Important, this only applies, like the interleave events, this only applies to the core protocol. If you're using X input, you don't have to worry, you will get all events. It's really just when you're using core events. The cool thing about that, that's a bit of a side effect, is that all the menus actually use grabs, or pretty much all the menus anyway. So what happens is, if you right-click to bring up a pop-up menu, the grab ownership will be yours. Nobody else can actually click on your pop-up menu. Only you can make it disappear or select something. And it only also works per application. So if you have two applications open, I can right-click, bring up a pop-up menu here. Somebody else can bring the other menu down here, because the grab ownership applies to two different devices, because it's two different applications. So this restriction actually only applies if you have, again, multiple input devices within a single user application. Don't do that. And ambiguity. X query pointer, favorite call of XIs, which basically doesn't do anything else. Problem is, X query pointer, which one? There are six cursors on the screen. Which one do you want to get? Again, simple solution. Each client has a client pointer. The first time an application uses an API that doesn't actually specify the device, we just say, okay, you're going to get this device from now on. So we assign this device to be the client pointer. On continuous calls to X query pointer, XIs will always look at this cursor. We can change that at runtime. So the window manager, for example, should change that. And that works quite nice because we get consistency. And we also can guarantee that there's always valid data returned to the application, because we always return the data from a particular device. It's all nice and dandy. Again, if you have two people using the application at the same time, you have to be really good in your client pointer management, because every once in a while, it doesn't work perfectly. But hey, don't do that. So plan B. After plan A, rewrite everything. Plan B is, let's just support it in standard applications. As I said, you adjust event stream for core device, for core events. We have to grab ownership, the client pointer, and you just fix all the other little things that come up, which is quite more than you would expect. This is cool. We can use standard applications. We can use Firefox, we can use GIMP, we can use GNOME Calculator, and so on and so forth. And we can write new applications. And we can use them at the same time. So we actually have a transition period from, hey, let's just use one device at a time, to, hey, there's some applications I can use multiple devices with, which is pretty cool again. Most importantly, we haven't broken anything. The X server still behaves exactly in the same way as a traditional X server until you start enabling all these features. Unless you explicitly say, I want to have a second cursor, you won't even notice it's there. So you can actually slide it in for your users and they won't even notice until people start tinkering around with it, which is quite important for adoption. Demo. I'm running a standard Debian PowerPC setup here. The only thing I've changed is I've replaced the normal X server with MPX. Nothing else has changed. If I list my input devices as they're detected at the moment, you can see I have the core pointer, core keyboard. I've got a couple of devices that are automatically allocated, like the Macintosh mouse button emulation, and so on and so forth. What I'm going to do now, so I'm going to just plug this USB hub in, which has three devices connected. What you can see now is at the bottom, you can see the HID device, which is this little bulky mouse here. You have the Microsoft 5-button mouse here, and we've got a second keyboard as well. But all devices still control the same cursor. It's exactly the same behavior as we have in the standard X server. If you look at the center of the screen, now we have a second cursor. We just said, create a new virtual device, create a new master device. And you can see all devices still control this first cursor. But if we now list the devices, you can see we now have a foobar pointer and a foobar keyboard, which is exactly what we wanted to have. So the next thing we want to do is, oh, we actually want to be able to control this cursor. So we say we want the number 8 to be attached to 10, and we want number 9 attached to 11. And now I actually have two cursors, and I can control them with two mice. The cool thing about that is, I'm going to minimize that a bit, or not, there we go. Both of them actually work like a core pointer. I can use both mice to do stuff. I can move windows around, and so on and so forth. Even better, just going to fire up the second terminal. Yep. Sorry. There we go. I have one keyboard that can type in here. Again, this is unmodified GNOME, so the focus control is a bit harder. The other keyboard types in here. What I can do now, I can actually type in two applications at the same time. So you can immediately say, oh, I'll just fire up two OpenOffice instances on a split screen setup and let two users use it at the same time, which means you can actually save a full computer. There was a project in Brazil, and they built a session management proxy, basically, on top of that, which means they can actually have four independent users on the same X-Win instance, which is useful because it suddenly saved the money for three computers. But again, this is a standard desktop environment. There we go. If we actually fire up a window manager that does know about multiple devices, this is my personally written one, what we can do is we can do stuff like that. So we can actually move two windows around at the same time, we can resize it while moving, and so on and so forth. We can even do it, that's what I'm doing here, by manual interaction. Whoop, there we go. So I can resize the window like this. If we think about it, that's, thank you. If we think about it, that's actually how we interact with the real world all the time. There's very few activities which don't require two hands, and I'm not going to go into detail which ones they are. The same thing, like, again, standard application, we haven't actually modified them. Whoa. I can have two Firefox windows open, and I can browse in them at the same time without modifying anything except the X window system underneath. And if I'm really keen, I can actually write applications that know about multiple devices. This is about, I don't know, 1,000 lines of code or something, and 1,000 lines of really badly written code, but it gets the point across. You can listen for per device events. You can have multi-user interaction or bimanual interaction. Makes the whole thing a lot more interesting. Just going to continue with the presentation. So fairly simple demonstration, very powerful. All you have to do is, hey, I just want a second cursor, and it just works. So let's talk about what happens in the future. Now we have the infrastructure in place. So the first thing that hopefully happens is that we kind of tilt the statistic a bit. So the applications actually start using multiple input devices in terms of, hey, we can do bimanual interaction. Think of a 3D program where you can actually rotate something like this. Or think of in the GIMP, if you put a mask on, yeah, I can actually do it like this instead of like this, correction, 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 correction. You can just do it like this. Lots of studies have proven that's about 10 times as fast as something. So in the next years, maybe we can tilt it. There will be applications that don't need to. I can't, for example, think of a reason why Xterm needs to support multiple keyboards. Maybe you can come up with one. Go for it. So there's three steps towards actually enabling all that. The first is support device hierarchy and hot plugging. This is fairly trivial. It's a lot of code that needs to be written, but it's simple. It gets a bit harder when you say, hey, I want simultaneous interaction in my application at all times. There is a lot of unsolved research problems. And we have to think about how we can get around that. And then finally, there's the problem of we have to support group work and two-handed input at the same time, which is where it becomes completely insane. Because you suddenly have seven devices. I use two. You use one. You use two. And all the application sees is just events from all these devices, but it doesn't know who is actually operating which one. And contextually, a two bimanual operation is significantly different than two people doing a unimanual operation at the same time. As I said, tricky. So first step, the easy step, how are we going to do that? The most important change here, aside from all the multiple input devices, is that master devices can switch state now. Because we can have multiple slave devices attached to a single master, every time the slave device sends an event, it may flip the state of the master. In terms of if you have a USB mouse and a Wacom tablet attached to the same cursor, this device can switch from absolute to relative with each event. Because the Wacom tablet gives us absolute coordinates, the USB mouse gives us relative coordinates. Different number of axes. Wacom tablet has 3 axes, standard USB mouse has 2. Change in resolution, device screen coordinates. And that can change with every single event. And in the application, we actually, device has changed. Next coordinates that are coming along will be in device coordinates. And we have to adopt that in the toolkits. Window managers. Is Carsten here? This is your nightmare. Anybody else who writes window managers? This is your nightmare too. It was mine for long. How do you avoid optical occlusion? What do you do if two people actually try to move the same window at the same time? What do you do if you have one user hits maximize and suddenly occludes all the other windows that people are interacting with? What do you do against that? Unsolved questions so far. Can we do smart window placement for multiple users? I had to run a user study in October, and what we had was a simple dual screen setup. 2 keyboards and 2 mice. People sitting down, and all we told them is like, okay, here's a text document. You can move the windows around. It was a normal Cinerama setup. Do stuff. And they would start researching the web and compiling the thing. The thing they complained about most was that when the user on the right hit the button to start Firefox, that Firefox didn't pop up on his screen. It could sometimes pop up on the other screen. Likewise, if the left user clicked Firefox button, he expected that the window actually pops up in front of the left or on the left screen, not on the right screen. The problem is the window manager has no way of actually knowing where a user is located physically in relation to the setup. The devices don't give you this information. Likewise, how do you even know who owns which devices? The example I mentioned before, if I use 2 input devices and you use 1, all the applications and the window manager sees that there's 3 devices sending events, but you don't actually know who controls which device. And again, the devices don't give you this information. So we have to find a way to make it easy for the user to A, set that up, and B, to get this configuration to the applications, so applications do actually know who is controlling which device. But then you don't even know, does a user actually have a user on the host computer? Because it might just be a guest walking up doing stuff. Not everybody in my lab has a user account on my box, but they sometimes help me. So that's where it gets tricky as well. Applications. You don't get away either. How do you think menus are going to work when you have 4 people interacting with the same application at the same time? For those of you who have used GIMP, GIMP uses, I think, up to 3 level nested pop-up menus. You need a really large screen to have 4 of them open at the same time. So pop-up menus are bad. Drop-down menus are bad because some people may want to interact with a button that is suddenly occluded by a menu. So we have to think, what can we do instead? Most of the widgets don't work anymore. What do you do with the checkbox if there's, again, 4 users interacting with the screen? If I click the checkbox, is the checkbox checked? Is it unchecked? Is it just checked for me? How do you display that? How do you display that only 2 users clicked the checkbox, but the other 2 didn't? Oh yeah, you could say, we just display 4 little checkboxes instead. What are you going to do if you have 20 users? Buy a bigger monitor? I don't know. We have to find ways around that. And it even actually goes that far. WIMP is the current interface paradigm we use. Windows, icons, menus, and pointers. And that works fine for a single user. It works okay for 2. It starts breaking down at 4, and it curls up and weeps at 15. We have a serious problem. We need to think about new interfaces. That's actually where the phone community can come in, because phones don't actually follow the WIMP paradigm. They do have different interfaces. Maybe it's interesting to actually merge them back to the desktop. blob events. So all we did so far was just saying, hey, we're just the extended input devices, but we have more of them. Blob events is the next step. There's two categories of devices that become increasingly popular. I think you're all familiar with touch devices, iPhone, Microsoft Surface, Jeff Hands, FDRI tables, and so on and so forth. There is another category which is kind of similar called torch devices, or at least that's how I call them, which is instead of touching the screen, you actually have a lamp in your hand and you shine down on the screen. And the light cone is detected by a camera. And as you move up and down, the size of the light cone changes. As you move it left and right, the shape of the light cone changes and you can actually detect what the user is holding the light. Interesting device. The big thing about these devices is they actually give you data like this. If I put all my five fingers down on the surface, I get data that approximately looks like this. So you can see the five fingers. You can get the bounding box for each touch point. You might be able to calculate the center, the X. And what are we going to do with this data? The main problem is these devices are significantly different. What we had so far was devices that only give you a single input point, X and Y coordinates. These devices, I'm writing a PhD, so you have to come up with cool acronyms, are multiple area input devices. They don't give you a point of input, they give you an area of input. If I put down my thumb, the area is like 2 by 2 centimeters or something like that. If I put down my hand, the input area is suddenly, I don't know, 15 by 10 or whatever that is. And each device can actually provide multiple of these areas at the same time. X can only do point-based devices. Unless you have X and Y coordinate, X is going to ignore you. So, fairly simple fix. All we do is we put a new event in, because events are the only method of communication with a client anyway. So we just say, hey, for these special devices, we put a new event in. So, X blob event, it has a hotspot. I'm going to come to that later. It has the areas and the data. So again, it tells me, if I put my fingers down, here's an area, it's at 50-200. And the data is actually, for example, the full RGB data as the camera underneath the table picks it up. We have elevation, so we can say, oh, this is 2 inches above the table. Rotation, thumb 90 degrees. Intensity for pressure, light intensity, whatever. Identifiers, that's where it gets interesting. You can allocate a couple of X items, and then you can, in your device, tag an event and say, this blob is from thumb right hand. So when you send the event to the client already knows this information, doesn't have to do any recognition. And some devices can actually do that. And of course you have buttons because you can't always need buttons. So why blob events? Why don't we have our touch library or Surface SDK, for example? With blob events, applications are actually device independent. At the moment, your applications don't care whether you have a serial mouse or a USB mouse. Likewise, with these blob events, they don't care what the actual hardware does. All they care is that they get multiple areas of input. Hot plug capable, because they're just devices, so we can actually plug in multiple touchscreens at the same time. They're queryable, so you can say, hey, I've got 3 touchscreens connected, can any of them do elevation? Oh, one of them can, so I can adjust the user interface to that. And on the hotspot I mentioned before, you can do automatic pointer emulation. So as I put down my thumb, the device says, ah, this is a thumb. The hotspot is approximately here. So what X does is it emulates a pointer on the hotspot. So if you press your thumb down on your touch drawing application, you can actually draw with your thumb. If you put your thumb down on the Firefox back button, it will actually get a pointer event. So you can use all current applications with your fingers, while at the same time use new applications that actually adopt to the new devices. Again, it makes it a lot more interesting. Yeah, but touchscreens have one big issue. They're transient devices. A mouse is here. Therefore, it represents the cursor. If I move the mouse, it moves the cursor. A touchscreen is just a surface usually. And until I actually touch it, it doesn't have state. Once I touch it, oh, here's an area of touch. So I can move the cursor there. I can move the input points there. Once I remove it, this state disappears again. So you shouldn't actually be leaving the cursor there, especially if you have 3-4 people interacting with multiple fingers on the same table. There is no solutions to that yet. We have to come up with them ourselves. Yeah. So, I've talked a lot. What I've talked about is just one piece of the puzzle. Here's a simplified diagram of how a computer looks at the moment. We have the hardware, we have the operating system, the windowing system. These three are infrastructure. They don't actually care about the user's context. All they do is to provide access to the devices in some way or another. The thing I've labeled the interaction layer, this has the interesting bits. We have the window manager, toolkits, test environment, applications. This is missing at the moment. All of that is single user. The window manager is single user. Applications are single user. None of them support bimanual interaction. So yes, we have the system in place. Now we have to think about the next step. So to summarize the talk, all you're getting is devices, lots of devices, many different devices. Just a few weeks ago, I've written a driver for the Wiimote. Kind of interesting to control the cursor with tilt. Useless, but interesting. So devices, lots of devices. The interesting question, how are we going to use them? Thank you very much. So before the first questions come, I'm finishing up my PhD at the moment. I'm looking for a job. Talk to me. Thank you. Questions? Yeah.
What kind of applications don't work with the changes?
I can show you. Firefox, for example, has an interesting bug that doesn't occur unless you have two devices. So I have a page I can scroll. I scroll with my right mouse. So I've clicked with my right mouse. Now I take the other mouse. If I just move through the window, it scrolls as well. Because Firefox doesn't check the button state during scrolling, because it assumes that once you've pressed the button, well, it's pressed until you hit the release. In this case, there's a different device that doesn't have the button pressed. Little things like that. So nothing major, nothing that makes applications crash as far as I can tell, but little things that can be annoying sometimes. Probably, yeah. I haven't had the time to debug that yet.
Is that a GTK bug? Scroll bars?
It may very well be. It may also be an MPX bug. But it's a bug nonetheless. I would have thought that X should internally create a grab when you do that, but as I said, I haven't had the time to actually debug why it doesn't work in this case. You mean the cursor shape, or? Oh, cursor shapes and X are handled in a way that the application says, if the cursor moves into this window, I want this shape. What we're doing in MPX is, if such a cursor is set, we change all devices into this cursor. So what you can see here, both devices are pointers. If I move them over text, not independently, but if they're in two applications anyway, they actually independently change. Let's do it like this. So you can see I have them in two different changes. What you can do in your application, if you actually write against that, you can say, I want device 2 to take on this cursor shape when it moves into this window. And that overrides the global cursor for this device. So you can have, all devices should have that cursor instead of the other one. Okay?
Doesn't this actually mean you have to actually reinvent the whole concept of user focus?
I've broken it.
Yeah.
Reinventing is a strong word. I don't know. You can do single user. That's the thing. We actually have a smooth transition. It's difficult because you do get most of the single user quality still, but you suddenly have multi-user as well. So it is a change. Whether it's reinventing it, you have to judge yourself. I pride myself on breaking it, not reinventing.
What happens to a window manager to actually properly support MPX? Do you have any idea?
The standard support, which was what I showed before with mine, is basically instead of listening to the core pointer, you actually find out which devices are master devices, you listen to all events from those. And that gives the ability like moving two windows around at the same time and stuff like that. From there, that's where it gets really interesting. From there, you hit the interaction problems. Because then you have to define, oh, this is a good idea to interact. And we're the first. Nobody has ever done that. And no other system is going to have it for at least a year, as far as I know. So we actually have to start just building stuff and see if it works. That's the only way we can find out. There's been a lot of studies, and they were very, very narrow-minded. Sorry, not narrow-cased or whatever you say. Where it's like, oh, in this application, if two users do exactly this task, then this may or may not be good interaction. Nobody's ever done it on, hey, what do? If we have a full desktop available. So that's where it becomes tricky.
And the standard way to design most of the applications is to build a state machine based on inputs.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can have state. But you have
case,
per device.
You can't actually hardcode a state machine because you don't know how many input devices.
Exactly.
So window manager is something which, I mean, I have written an MDA window manager, and it sort of runs basically as a state machine. And
yeah.
Yeah,
focus. That's true. That's why God invented malloc. Oh, more devices. Just reallocate the states. That's basically as simple as that. All you have to do is, oh, you will get notifications when new devices appear. So it's like, oh, there's a new device. Now I have to update all my states to actually merge the next state in. Yeah, that works for some devices. I think there might, yeah, I'll check that. I think there might actually be enough space for stuff like that left, but thank you, yeah. Yeah. So you can, in the driver, you can basically say, oh, I don't want pointer emulation for this particular area. I just want the blobs. There is a couple of other issues with touch screens, which I've just recently discovered in playing around with them a bit. We don't have devices that do it properly yet. All the devices are so significantly different to each other that we haven't found the single solution yet. B, hardly anybody has any experience with that. And the other thing is, just an example, if I put my hand down like this, and there's two windows on the screen, one here and one here. Where are you going to send the blobs to? You send these two to this device, this window, and these two to the other one. Because unless you know the context of what the user is trying to do, because to some devices, this looks exactly the same as this. And in this case, I actually want probably two things. So unless the device is capable of detecting that and say, oh, this is not five separate ones, this is one big one with blobs in here, unless we have devices and can play with them, this is a huge problem. But again, that's what you have when you do new stuff.
Is there any ideas of when this might be filling X?
There is any, sorry?
Any idea when this is going to be ready to be used by
the the original plan was X11.7.5. It's looking more like X11.7.6. So next May, I think, right? Something like that.
Can you have models that cursor
themes? Cursor theme, yes, because cursor themes are completely managed in the library. So all you have to do is you have to tell your library to actually work on a specific cursor instead of on the global cursor shape. So yes, you can do that. So generally, input drivers are loaded in the X server, but one of the touchscreen drivers I did was just open up a TCP socket, and then you had your image recognition program that actually tracked the blobs, and it would just send it to the TCP socket. So yes, you can do that. People might come up with a 2x4 if you do that. Because you're basically opening up something as root, and unless your parser is really good, you have to be careful. But you can do that.
Yeah, I was just wondering about Michael Lassie, how it could feed the input events to the server. Should it be doing that by...
Mango Lassie, in your case, that's XTest. So there is an API for that, and that will be modified to actually do that, to like on per devices.
So that XTest can actually affect the whole closed set of XI?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Settings like random movement, everything?
Hopefully, yeah, eventually. I need more time. Okay, last question, I think.
Would it be worthwhile to have the concept of an identity in this model as well? So you have a series of devices which you can explicitly associate with an identity, which might be a person or
yes.
Right-hand, left-hand or something, and then you can have focus attached to an identity. So one person moves on a screen, and they claim that window, and then they type into it.
Yes.
I've
thought about methods to get around this whole user identification. How do you group devices into a user? I've come up with some examples, but once you start actually either trying it or actually go down with concrete examples, they all break down. So I'm really happy. If you want to, we can sit down and try to figure something out that actually works. The good thing is that doesn't have to be in X, because the way X is infrastructure, it gives you access to the devices. It doesn't give you the context of who is actually using it. So you can actually implement that in ICCM or EWMH and so on and so forth, which makes it much easier to debug too. But yeah, I'm happy to sit down and discuss that, because it's an unsolved problem at the moment.